Just a very simple thought tonight that I feel the Lord has laid on my heart, and just ask the Lord to help us tonight. I'd ask you to pray for me that the Lord would have His way in the preaching tonight. Genesis chapter number 3 and verse number 1. The Bible said, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened. And they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." I'll stop reading there tonight. I want to use a verse tonight, if God will help me, for a thought, and then I want to take us through the Scripture and look at this thought throughout the Scripture tonight if we can. I want to take our text tonight out of verse number 8. The Bible said, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day." I want to preach tonight, if God will help me, for just a few moments on "And God came walking." Let's pray. Father, I pray you'd have your way in the service tonight. We need your presence and divine touch and power. God, without you, there'll be no help tonight for those that are in desperate need. But Father, tonight, I pray that your will would be accomplished, and we'll thank you and praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen and amen. Before we get started tonight in the message proper, let me make just a few introductory comments about this text. Here in Genesis chapter number 3, we find the world in a perfect state. We find it in a state that it will never be found in again until the Lord Jesus Christ presents it back to God His Father in the book of Revelation and said, "It is done." We find not only the world in a perfect state, we find man in a perfect state. Man, as formed from the hand of Almighty God, is in perfection in the garden. There are no evil thoughts. There are no evil words. There is no evil heart. There's nothing in this man's life to cause him to be drawn away from God. There is no temptation in his heart, is what I'm trying to say, like we have in our day. Again, we will never know that again until Jesus presents us back to God, His Father, amen, and presents us perfect, without spot and without wrinkle to the Lord God in heaven. But not only do we find that the world was in perfection, and not only do we find that man was in perfection, but we find that communion between God and man was in perfection. I'm glad to report to you that in the garden there was no walls between God and man. There was nothing that separated between him and his God. The only thing that was between between a God and man was perfect, sweet communion. Again, that will never be known. It'll never be known again until God presents us, and the Lord Jesus presents us back to God the Father in a state of perfection. But I'll say to you tonight, that's not the only things that we see in the garden. We also see in the garden that man was worse than he had ever been here in this garden. I thought about this text. I thought about how bad the world was in the days of Noah. The Bible said that man's heart was only evil continually. But there were 8 souls that found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Hey, there was a time in Sodom when all of those men were wicked, but there were 4 righteous, at least 3, maybe 4 righteous souls in Sodom. Lot and his 2 daughters. You say, they were wicked. They may have been, but God counted them as righteous souls. But could I make a proposition to you tonight and let you think about something, that in the Garden of Eden, the world was as bad as it could ever get. Every person on the top side of God's earth was lost. Hey, I'm trying not to get ahead of myself. Hey, but every person in on the top side of this world was without God. There was no church to pray revival down. There was no evangelist preaching under a tent. There was no pastor concerned. There was no Christians witnessing. It was dark. It was desperate. Man was destitute. The world would never again be in the state of perfection that it found itself in Genesis 3. But the world will never again find itself until after the rapture of the church, and not even then completely. As bad as it was in the garden. Every person, there was only 2 people. And Adam wasn't looking to get right with God, and Eve wasn't looking to get right with God. I'm telling you, it was dark, it was desperate, and they were destitute. And if you'd have looked at that situation from the earth side of view, you'd have said there's no hope. You'd have said there's no help. There is no possibility of recovery. And I'd say to you tonight that you'd be 100% right, except for one thing. God came walking. Amen. When the world was dark, amen. And when man had totally ruined it, when man had totally destroyed everything God made, God came walking, amen. God didn't let the situation deter him from what his plan was. God stepped out of eternity into time, amen, when man was as bad as he could get. America's in bad shape tonight. She's in bad, bad shape. This whole world's a rocking and a reeling on its way to hell. And I want to tell you, there's still a God, amen, who can come walking in the cool of the day. Hey, Taylor, you think you can't live for God in this ungodly world? I'm telling you, Adam and Eve didn't even want to get right with God. And God stepped on the scene. I get concerned. Sometimes, preacher, I get concerned about things going on in the religious world. I think, man, ain't no hope. But God reminded me today that he came walking in the garden when there was no hope. Hey, listen, they had disobeyed God. They didn't disobey a preacher. They disobeyed God. You say, I've disobeyed the preacher. They disobeyed God. But God came walking in the cool of the day, amen, and brought hope into a hopeless situation. God can walk in your life tonight. Man was destitute, and there was no hope but God. I thought about this. I can almost see God up in heaven, and And I'm trying to understand an infinite God with a little old pea brain that I've got. So I'm trying to wrap my mind around an all-encompassing God. I can't do it. So I get what I get. Brother Craig is just little glimpses of him here and there along the way. I got a feeling when I get to heaven and all them glimpses are put together, I'm going to think maybe if I live 150 years, I might have a pretty good view of what God's like. But when I get to heaven, if I did live that long and learned about God every day, Brother Craig, what I'd find out was I was just seeing the hinder part, a little part of the hinder part. Amen. And God's going to reveal himself to me in heaven like I've never seen. But I thought about this as God, Brother Mike, was there on his throne in heaven and the earth was his footstool and he saw Eve take of that fruit. It didn't surprise him. He knew what was going on, knew it before it happened. I can't explain all that, but I know that it is true. But I can see God as he looks down off of his throne and he sees that little old woman take of that fruit and then give to that man, and that man takes of that fruit and willingly disobeys God. And I'm telling you, I thought to myself, I imagine the devil was over in the corner somewhere laughing up his sleeve saying, I want you to look what a bunch of dummies God created. Look what a bunch of idiots God made. Just the first chance they get to disobey God and they run to it as fast as they can. But what the devil didn't know, amen, I was sitting on the throne of heaven. I wasn't just a God of justice and a God of holiness and a God of righteousness, but he was a God of mercy and a God of grace and a God of peace and a God of hope and a God that would hear, amen. I'm telling you, God's looking over the banisters of heaven and almost up on the edge of his seat, waiting to deliver mercy and grace in the hour where sin did abound, grace did much more abound, amen. You say, preacher, I messed up. I'm in worse shape than I've ever been. You're in a good place for God to show his mercy. I can see Adam and Eve in the fall. I imagine God probably pictured them like somebody just laying flat out on the ground, fell completely. They didn't fall part of the way. They fell all the way. They were as low as they could go. And I can see God step off his throne and jump off into that garden and come walking through the cool of the day, strolling like he had done many times. Yes, his justice must be answered. His holiness must be satisfied. And I'm telling you, every attribute of God is not going to disavow or disallow any other attribute of God. But I'm telling you, when justice stepped out and took a step, mercy took another step on the other side. And when righteousness took a step, grace took a step, amen. And when the holiness of God needed to be satisfied, mercy stooped down and lifted man. When man could not do any good, he couldn't do one thing good. God couldn't do nothing but good. Hey, you say all I can do is bad. I know. But all God can do is good. And the badness of man and the wickedness of man will never outstrip, outrun, or outdo the goodness of God. Hallelujah. I'm glad tonight that when I was as bad as I could be, when I went as slow as I could go, God came walking. My mind began to run through Scripture. Chance, about the times that God, preachers preached about this some, but a little different look at it, about when God came walking in the lives of men and the difference that he made. I couldn't read or think about my scripture very long, and I ain't really studied this out all the way, so I'm going to miss a few. But the ones I've got is pretty good, amen.
It was a thrill in my heart, I know that. But I thought about a man named Enoch right before the flood. And I wonder as he began, what made him walk? Why did Enoch walk with God day by day? What made him get out and take a step along the highway and say, God, we're going to fellowship a while. I'm just going to walk with you. Could it be that he knew something about the story in the garden when God came walking and he said, if I'm going to live in this wicked and perverse and adulterous and untoward generation, I'll have to walk with God. And a man named Enoch, when the world was dark and he had no, you don't find any record of friends. Don't find any record of fellowship. Don't find any record where Enoch had anything, anybody in the world with him to help him along life's way. But Enoch walked with God. But I'll tell you something. God walked with Enoch. Hey, imagine Enoch. Hey, when that boy was born, Enoch said, he began to call upon the name of the Lord. He began to walk with God. And Enoch said, God, I'm going to try to walk with you. God said, I'm a walking God, Enoch. If you want to walk, we'll walk. Amen. I know it's dark, Enoch, but I remember a time in the garden when man was as far as they could go and there was no help and no hope and it was dark and I went walking in the cool of the day and surely to goodness if God could walk where man had fallen, surely God would walk where man was striving to walk with him. God came walking. Enoch. And God stepped out on this old world again and trod the paths of this old world and walked among men with a man named Enoch. And from what I can tell, God must have walked all the way up to the doorstep of Noah's house. Amen. Because the Bible said that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You know what that means? Noah was looking for it. Noah had determined to find it. He was trying to find it, but he'd have never found it if God hadn't been there. But Brother Tarvin, Noah, God walked right up to the doorstep of Noah and said, hey, I'm going to destroy this thing. Said, man's heart is on evil continually. Said, he can't even have a good thought. He said, but I walked in the garden when there wasn't nobody walking with me and nobody wanted grace and everything was as bad off as it could be. I'll walk with you too, Noah. I'd just get to building the ark, amen. And Noah walked out of his house one day. I walked down to the timbers and cut down the lumber, amen, and began to build an ark. And God kept on walking. God walked him through a deluge like this world has never seen nor will ever see again. And God walked him through. God, hey, you know, you think in Luke chapter number 8, I believe it is the first time God walked on water. I don't think so. I believe the first time that he walked on water was in the book of Genesis. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. But water ain't never slowed him down, amen. I think he took that little old ark, tied a little old rope to it, and walked on the waves of the stormy billows and led her over to Mount Ararat and set her down, amen. And God kept on walking. You say, you're just supposing. Yeah, I am. But God got it to Ararat, amen. God gave me an imagination, so I'm using it. Amen. God walked him on through. I've got to get through. I've got way more. But then I thought about a little old woman. Somebody who'd had five husbands. The one she was shacking up with now wasn't her own. And the Bible said that Jesus and his disciples were going to go to town, but Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria, amen. And God kept on walking, amen. He stepped out on an old dirt, dusty road and walked up to Jacob's well and sat down. And that little old woman who'd messed it all up, she had done everything wrong. She had done no good. Not one good act or deed recorded in her life. Five times she's been married, probably five homes. She's busted up. Six is probably sitting at her house. You say, oh, there ain't no hope for her. But God said, I remember in the Garden of Eden when man was destitute and everything was dark and they were as bad off as they could be and there was no hope. I went walking in the cool of the day. Oh, surely I could walk through Samaria. And God, that little old woman went to the well, went at a certain time of day. When they didn't really go to the well, they went early, about 6 a.m. from everything I can find out. And she went almost at noontime. I believe that's right. Somewhere there about between 9 and noon. And Brother Craig, I believe the reason she went there on that day is because she didn't want nobody to be at that well that she might know. She didn't want any of them women whose husbands she had stole to be at that well. She didn't want to talk to them. Oh, no. And who in the world would want to talk to her? She didn't want no other men. She'd had five, had sent number six in the house, and he wasn't satisfying her, the hunger in her soul. Amen. Why would she want another man? And as she walked up to that well, God had already been walking. I don't know when Jesus started. It don't tell us when he started in Samaria, but he got there in plenty of time, amen. He left right on time and arrived right on time. Amen. Right when she got to the well, I'm telling you, she no doubt thought in her mind, another man, that's the last thing I need. Probably tried to ease around the edge of that well, not look at him too much, and get her water and go about her business. But Jesus said, give me to drink. Amen. And God was a walking. A God had walked through Samaria. But God just stepped into her life and started walking through her heart and started down that dusty road of her heart and began to point out the sin in her life. And then he brought her to this surmising in her heart, if thou knewest. He said, the reason you're not saved is because there's some things you don't know. He said, if thou knewest who it was that askest drink of thee, thou wouldest ask of him, and he would have given thee living water. She said, give me this water. Hey, when she found out what she didn't know, when she found out what she'd never heard, it lit a spark in her soul to be satisfied. And tonight, God walked through her heart. I think of a little town called Bethany. Dead 4 days. Lazarus was already stinking. Mary and Martha were bitter. They'd done given up hope. They thought God had done walked out of their life. But God walked right into Bethany. Amen. Right on time. Just in time. Every time. And God walked into a dead place. You ever wondered how people get saved in a dead church? Well, if he can get them up out of a graveyard, amen, he don't have no trouble walking into a dead church and getting them up, amen. I'm telling you, he's the God of life and the living, amen. And God gave Lazarus his life back. You look in, it just goes on and on. You go all the way to the book of Revelation. I've got to wind it up, but you go all the way to the book of Revelation. And what's he doing in the midst of them 7 golden candlesticks? Walking in the midst of them. Ephesus is not going to repent. Sardis is in sad shape. There's trouble at Thyatira. Listen to me. Laodicea is lukewarm. And it don't seem like there's no hope. And when I look at it from my end, in my point of view, preacher, it don't look like there is no hope. But the thing that encourages me and encouraged me today, chastwise, is that God was still a walking, amen. God came a walking. God came walking, amen. And as long as God's moving, as long as God's moving, everything's going to be just fine, Brother Chris. Let me close by saying this. There was a day about 20 years ago when I was a little old sinner. Boyhood messed his life up as bad as he could. Brother Craig, he just about sinned himself into the grave, just about sinned himself into divorce court, just about sinned himself into total deprivation. And I wasn't looking for God, preacher. If I was, I didn't know it. I know that I probably just didn't know what I was looking for, but I'm telling you, I wasn't looking for it. But God began to stir in my heart, and I began to look. But I couldn't, the thing was, is I couldn't get loose. I was bound in sin so tight. Alcohol had me bound. Pills. All types of addictions. And I couldn't get loose. I wanted out and couldn't get out. But Brother Craig, Jesus Christ walked into this world. He walked past a manger, a lowly stable. He walked through society. He walked through a Roman government that hated him, a religion that despised him. And he walked up to an old rugged cross. And there laid his life down for you and me. It should have been me laying on that cross. I should have been one dying. Brother Craig, I was the sinful one. I should have been nailed to that tree. But Christ died in my stead and in yours. And if all he ever done is went to the cross, he would have provided payment. But we needed more than payment. We had to have somebody to mediate that covenant of grace to me and you. And a dead Christ couldn't do that. So he walked off of that cross. He had, on the only time that I can find he had help going anywhere, really, other than maybe the foal of an ass. But Brother Craig, men helping him walk. They took him down and walked him to a tomb. But while they was walking him to a tomb, the Bible said he was walking in the heart of the earth, ministering to the spirits, leading captivity captive and giving gifts unto men. Amen. But they walked his body into a tomb. And after 3 days, Brother Craig, that body got up and walked out of the tomb. Where'd them disciples that had that heavenly heartburn, where did they meet him? Walking on the road to Emmaus. Did not our hearts burn within us? Hey, I'd have been in a mess. I couldn't walk. But the songwriter had it right. When I could not come to where he was, he came to me. And much like he did with Lazarus on that day, he said, loose him and let him go. Amen. He got me up. Amen. He got me out. He got me in. Amen. He put me on a rock. And now I walk with him day by day. You say, preacher, tonight, my life's in a total wreck. I've ruined it all. It don't get no worse than where I'm at. And there is no hope. And I would agree with you tonight. There would not be. But God came walking. But God came walking. You're not here tonight by accident. You didn't show up tonight by accident. God's walking. Moving, Brother Mike. If you'll just open up your eyes and your ears and hear him say to you, like I did that day, David, where art thou? He wanted me to know where I was at. He knew where I was. But I had to admit that to Him. And you'll have to admit your condition before God will ever walk you out of the life you're in. You'll have to repent and believe the gospel, and thou shalt be saved. But Brother Tarvin, I thought about this the other day. It's so simple. We sang it, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. And we sing it so glibly and so lightly and use it in such a, not, it don't mean a thing to us in our heart. But I thought about the shape that this whole world's in and the way this country is going and the way the world's going. And somebody came to me, if the president, and he wouldn't, but if he did, call and say, Brother Wells, have you got the answer? I'd say, yeah, I got it. Jesus saves. The sodomites are running throughout the land. Yeah, but Jesus saves. Abortion's on the rise. Yeah, but Jesus saves. Drunkards are more are getting are becoming drunkards more, younger and younger. It's getting down into preteen years now. Yeah, but Jesus saves. Hey, homes are in wreck. Yeah, I know it, but Jesus saves. Amen. Hey, you say a child abuse is on the rise. I know it, but Jesus saves. Oh, men are dying without God. Yeah, but Jesus saves. Amen. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Amen. He saves tonight. He's still walking. He's still a saving. Amen. You say, my family ain't got no hope, Brother Jenkins. Yeah, but Jesus saves. The colleges are in a mess. I know it, but Jesus saves. You say, well, you think that's a solution to everybody's problem. Well, it is. It ain't me just thinking it. Amen. It is. It is the answer. Jesus saves. My boss is mean and he's wicked and ungodly. My friends are wicked, ungodly. Y'all know it, but Jesus saves. I'm a drunk, Brother David. I'm a dope head. I'm an adulterer. I'm a fornicator. I'm a God-cussing heathen. Yeah, I know it, but Jesus saves. Well, you mean that fixes all that? Yeah, that fixes all that. Yeah, pretty much gets it all. Because God, one reason, God came walking. When man was, Genesis is bad, as good as it ever got, and Genesis is as bad as it ever got. But God came walking anyway. God is still walking tonight. He's walking through your heart right now. I wonder if you'll answer Him while He's calling and say, here, my Lord, it's me.